Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. The show is brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? The Frederick Faith Debate is an open and honest forum for our local faith, religious, you know, community leaders. Whatever. They all have different monikers and titles. It's hard to know what to call them anymore. But to come on the show and talk about things that we might agree on, and if we agree, we're going to agree passionately. And we might disagree on, and if we disagree, we're going to disagree passionately, but respectfully, yeah. All in love and toleration to an extent.
Yeah. Right? We don't use toleration to define that the same way I think that many in
Most of the world does. No.
Yeah. We're of the opinion that the best toleration is kind of toleration where you look each other in the eye if you're going to disagree, and you do it, you know, face to face. You do it honestly. Whereas most of the world seems to be of the orientation that tolerance is based on this idea that you should never talk about our areas of disagreement because you make people feel uncomfortable. Oh, no. All of which I think breeds people with a very shallow belief system. And I'm just not for shallow belief systems.
So, because Jonathan, he couldn't survive in a shallow world. He's a big guy, and he needs lots of depth. He's Jonathan Schweitzer. He's the senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel. And also on the panel this week, Pastor Luke Robinson, minister at Quinn Chapel AME Church. AME stands for African Methodist Episcopal. And we'll talk about what that means in a little bit. But first, I just met Luke for the first time, or if I have met him before, he and I didn't remember the meeting, so... I think it's the first time we're meeting. And I'm not sure how Jonathan and Luke met in orchestrating this appearance.
We met on the show. The context of the Christmas in the Park here in Frederick and then the Right to Life. And we had come off of the Feast of Tabernacles, and I think your administrator, Renee, was inviting people to be part of it. And Chris Gieslin, who's been on the show, pastor at Redeemer International Family Church, and Pastor Luke have both been ministers here in Frederick for about 25, 26 years. And so they go way back together. And that was kind of the connection that Chris Gieslin said, I need to get on board with this Christmas in the Park because this guy is solid. He's doing good stuff. And
so talk about the Christmas in the Park. I think I remember seeing something in the paper about that. There were photos and stuff of what was going on, but I don't know really what was behind that.
Well, Christmas in the Park was, I think, about a year ago. Well, last December of 2008, the Lord sort of put in my spirit that it was an opportunity for the church to step up to the plate and to be in the public view so that people could see that Christmas is more significant than Santa Claus, more significant than shopping.
Oh, say it's not so.
Yeah, well, it's true. and so much so that God was leading me in my spirit to say that, you know, it was an opportunity for the church to stand up and to proclaim Christ. And so from that kind of vision, we ended up in the park and had hundreds of people in the park on a winter day.
About 500
praising
people
God,
there.
Over 500, yes.
Yeah.
Praising God in the winter month and having a glorious time.
Now, I seem to recall that there this made the paper. There were photos
of
that. And if I'm not mistaken, my memory is that all of the photos featured African Americans. Were there...
So all the photos only showed African Americans because I was there, and I'm not African American. So how come they didn't put my picture
Jonathan,
in the newspaper?
He was in the pictures, but he was in the picture. It was interestingly enough, it was.
Do you have a tan that day or something?
Yeah,
no, we had a hat on. Probably.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else, but it does seem like was it predominantly a black?
It was.
Gathering.
Tremendous support from the African American community.
Yeah.
They were the overwhelming number of attendees. However, it was an integrated thing. We had one or two Chinese. We had a couple of other denominations.
Messianic,
Hispanic, Jewish, yeah, and the white population as well. So we had quite a few people to come, and. I was surprised that the African American community was the largest in attendance, and
the motivation was to have
unity.
I was
very pleased to see everybody together.
Was that the main motivation to demonstrate unity?
Well,
among
yeah,
the Christian
it was
churches?
For the church to come together, we sent the information to as many churches as we possibly could.
Well, that's why I kind of was raising the point that I raised, is that the motivation was, let's bring all the churches together, and the ones that showed up were pretty much the African American churches. So what does that mean?
Yeah.
Well,
I think there's a couple things that come into play there. One is that it was a kind of a first time thing, and so I think a lot of people kind of hanging back to see, okay, what's this thing going to be like, and how's it going to turn out? In fact, I picked up a little bit of a sense, even as you were organizing the event, that there was some pressure from maybe some directions to not let it just be like purely something that lifts up Christ, but to kind of add other agendas to it. Like, did you feel some pressure along those lines?
Well, no, I didn't want it to go that way, because what we wanted to do is, we did, for instance, we gave out $6,000 to six organizations that support and help people in the Frederick County area. In fact, one was outside of the Frederick County area, and that was New Life for Girls. And that's a ministry to women who have some issues with addictions or other breakdown in their lives. And so we wanted to help them. And I have sent some women from the Frederick area to those places to be ministered to. And so we wanted to give them some kind of support during this time. But the Frederick Coalition.
Religious Coalition.
Yeah.
CareNet.
CareNet. And I think we even took up food for the food bank, the Frederick County Food Bank. And so all
Marriage Savers got some.
Yeah. And so we did not emphasize collection of money. We just told people to bring $6 with the $6 or $5.
It seems like there's a tendency with unity movements to become more about the unity than about Christ, and more about the diversity than about Christ. And I felt like I really appreciated the way that you kept Christ at the center of the thing, and you didn't want to turn it into this thing, you know, like we just invite any and everybody, and then suddenly, you know, you're pulling in, you know, maybe cults or you know, some of the other religions, kind of a thing. But the point is that, yeah, we're about unity, but we're about unity in Christ.
Yeah.
And that the most important thing is that we lift up Christ. And
well,
I appreciated that.
The reason for that is because you have Christmas is about Jesus Christ coming into the world. The Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The scriptures talk about how that for unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and that's Bethlehem. And so often the church does this little thing and goes back into its home to come out in the morning. But to be open and to proclaim this good news that we have, that there is a Savior that came into the world that to die for us. And so we were celebrating that.
So why should we bother to come together to do that? Why not just do that in our different churches?
Because the world is so accustomed to divisiveness, and the church sometimes play into that. God did not come to just save the African Methodist Episcopal Church. He didn't come just to save the Baptist Church or some denomination or this thing.
Yeah.
He came to that all people could be saved.
Yeah.
He came for the church. So sometimes we get caught up in our denominations, and we fail to realize that Jesus Christ is to be worshipped by all of us. And if we're in Christ, we should be in unity with the principles of the gospel.
Let me tie a few frayed ends together here and shove us off in the right, you know, in a good focused direction. Because I asked the question, you know, I'm not sure if anybody was trying to anticipate, you know, any motive behind my question. I didn't really have a motive per se. That was negative.
Yeah, you do. You always have motives.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't a negative, like, hey, this was a black thing, and why did... I agree with what Jonathan's saying. It's not about the unity, and it's not about the diversity. However, the question still, I think, hangs out there as an important one, because what's lying behind the absence of unity and diversity might be an important issue to tackle.
Good.
So if Luke has this idea, you know, the Lord presses on his heart to have this event that's going to invite all sorts of people to come, and the people that come are predominantly African-American, or Jonathan, you've mentioned it on this show a few times, and you mentioned it in the green room before the show, this show, about how you encourage, you try to get a mixed ethnicity to come and worship at Crossroads Valley Chapel, and yet the people that keep showing up are white people.
Yeah.
And Luke puts together this huge event. The majority of people that show up are black people. Hmm. So that might not be important on the face of it, except what might really be undergirding that. And I'm wondering if part of that goes back to the whole AME history. You know, the African Methodist Episcopal Church exists because black slaves, I guess, or even maybe they weren't even slaves, but African Americans or blacks weren't allowed to go to the altar in the white churches, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is there still some of that that's hampering the cause of Christ?
Now, that's a good question. Do you think, how would you approach just the difference between the two? Like when white people maybe don't feel as comfortable maybe in your congregation, or black people don't feel as comfortable in my congregation, does that automatically mean that there's some kind of discrimination going on? Or earlier you were saying that you don't really think it's discrimination, it's just a cultural difference.
Well, I think a lot of it is cultural. I think that when you in a culture such as America, it's been segregated for so long. I think even in amongst our own churches, it's denominationalism is because people like different things and they do different things.
Yeah, like for example, I haven't asked you this question yet. How long does your church service go?
My church service go a long time. Yeah. I have two services, one at 7:45 in the morning, and it goes till about 9:30. It's the time for the first service. Mm-hmm. And the second service, it starts at 11, and it goes until we get out.
Yeah, so it could go. Sometimes it goes longer, sometimes shorter.
Yeah, most of the time, 1 o'clock, 1:15.
Yeah, well, the reason I bring that up is because I read a book one time about by some missiologists that were talking about how different cultures in the world are different. And one of the things that
what's a missiologist?
A missiologist is somebody that studies missions and studies different cultures to help think through how the Bible best fits into different cultures, right? Because sometimes Christians come into different cultures and say, in the name of Christ, they try to make people more, you know, European, white Anglo-Saxon European kind of a thing. Instead of coming in and saying, no, let's let the Bible speak for itself. Instead of saying you have to dress like us, or you have to talk like us, or sing songs like us, you know. And so a missiologist thinks through what things can be left the same and what things shouldn't. And one of the things that they noted is that it seemed like people that white Europeans tended to be more time-oriented, and that it seemed like African-American people tended to be more event-oriented. And a time-oriented person says, look, if we start at 7 o'clock, we need to be done at 8:30, and do not go any time over because I got things to do, places to go. And it's in their orientation, whereas an African-American person will tend to say, well, look, I don't so much care about when we start. Let's just make sure that when we get there that we get everything done that we need to get done, and just make sure that we allow the Spirit to show up and that, you know, that we genuinely have fellowship with one another. And what the missiologist came out with in this book is that Christ was both of those. On the one hand, he was like telling people just to relax and let's just spend time with one another and let's not make a big deal. But then there are other times that he was like, you know what? I need to get to Jerusalem. There's things that we got to get done. And so he was both time-oriented sometimes, and other times he was event-oriented, just saying, look, you guys just need to relax and let's just spend time together.
Well, I don't know. I think it goes back also to Africa, and I think the African people are more, they're not as prone as perhaps European, maybe, or I don't know, but they do worship. They spend time in worship. And it's sort of like in our culture that we just don't rush through things. But I don't know if that's...
Sometimes we Europeans, I think, of that heritage are a bit cold. You know, it's like we just want to, you know, get in and out. Sorry, I'm snapping on the air. You're probably not supposed to do that. But you just want to get in and out quick.
It's got to be an FCC violation or something.
And many times I think before you really encounter God, you're out the door. And that's not only with other ethnic backgrounds, but I think even in our culture now, in the African-American community, it's a rush, rush, rush. We don't have time. It's like when we had the blue laws, that was a time when, you know, certain things weren't going on. You spent a lot of time in church. Yeah. You don't spend time in church. Now, to go back to the deal with the question you talk about, how come there was a difference How come maybe the white community was not in large numbers? Well, it goes again to association. This is a lot of people who came knew me, mm-hmm. And I think that this was a first time event of this magnitude. It's a good start. It's something that I think the Spirit of God is doing across the nation. He's saying to people, we're going to do a new thing. We're going to change. Yeah. We're going to get involved. We're going to have to take time with people. So from the start, if I look at it, it was 100%. It was a wonderful experience. Christ was lifted
successful.
Up. People came. There were diversities and stuff. And if you keep doing these kind of things, after that, we had an inaugural prayer party where we prayed for
the
success of the Obama administration, and here again we came together, and it was a diversity of people that had came together, and they prayed together. We had a great turnout. It was wonderful. The prayer was there, and I think the more you do these kind of things, the more we get accustomed to the cultures and the difference and the changes, and it will grow. So what has happened over the years, I think, is because we've been so separated.
Yeah.
It's
just time, isn't it?
It's just time for us to work together.
Like, for example, they're coming together to do an Easter sunrise service this year. And apparently there was some that had done that a couple years back, but it's been quite a few years here in Frederick since there's been a joint Easter sunrise service. So they're going to do that the morning of Easter this year again as an opportunity for the church to come together again on a day when the church should be coming together, because it's the day that represents the celebration of Christ rising from the dead, which is so central to what our faith is all about. And, you know, so there's a couple things, you know, big events a couple times a year that seem well suited to the purpose of the church coming together in unity. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, we're going to do a prayer breakfast with all the Christian pastors in town. It's the first Thursday in May, and invite some of the leaders, the mayor, the aldermen, the county commissioners to the prayer breakfast, you know, doing it in a nice place. And that's actually never been done before. And so we're going to be, you know, looking to do that.
Throw some things
forward
together to encourage people. And
that is an opportunity to come together and to show the unity and to show our leadership. Political leaders that we're praying for and care about.
In order to have to overcome some of the separatist type of practices the church has had in the denominations, you just got to start doing it a different way. And I think God is going to move.
But the question comes up, at what point will we say, you're not invited? Like, what kind of person would show up at this event, this unity event that is a Christian unity event, that we would say, okay, you don't quite fit what the unity represents. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, if the Muslim imam from in town came,
Jonathan, if you focus on
wanted to be a part of it, what would we do?
If
Muslim imam. Imam is a pastoral leader, as it were, religious leader in the Muslim world. Would we let him come?
Well, basically, most of the time, they would not want to come if you're talking about a Christian program. The Christian program lifts up that Jesus Christ is the only way, is the true way. He has a track record that has proven to be second to none. And so there is a message that Christ has. He's the one who got up from the dead.
Right, and so it's likely that Buddhists wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable with that. It's likely the Muslims wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable with that. However, what about a Unitarian?
If they're lifting up Jesus Christ, they'll feel comfortable.
And so the issue is that these events would be done with a magnification of Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life, and let other people
feel their way to come. If they want to be a part of that, fine. And they separate themselves from that kind of thing.
For example, what about
separate yourself from something that's opposed to your core beliefs?
What about one of our aldermen, a very capable alderman? He's a lawyer here in town, but he's a Mormon. And would we feel, because he would be feel very comfortable lifting up Jesus Christ, and yet it occurs to me in that setting that there's the question of whether or not, you know, we would completely feel comfortable with.
Well, you invited him to come and see if he'd come, and if he'd feel comfortable, he probably wouldn't have any problem.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's up to, it's not a closed house. It's like, this is what's going on in this house. If you were to, you know, if you went to if you went to a Honda dealership, you would be expecting to find Hondas there.
Right.
All
right.
Right. So if you went to a Christian meeting, you would expect to find Christians there. Now, even at a Honda dealership, there are some other cars parked there for sale. Mm-hmm. However, they came there and got converted to that dealership. And
to use a
good
illustration. So, all right, but however, we've had some people on this show that were Christian pastors that are of the opinion that Jesus is not the only way, truth, and the life. They'll say things like, well, you know, Jesus is good for me, but he might not be so good for somebody else. And if Muhammad works for somebody else, then that's okay for them.
Well,
it occurs to me that
I'm
somebody
Pastor
like
Luke
that.
I'm Pastor Luke J. Robinson, and I'm not of that opinion.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ has presented himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And so I make no apologies for that. I think he has a track record to stand behind who he say he is. And so I'm not going to be out just saying, well, you know, I'm sure that those who are following the other religions and other faiths, they make no compromise or apologies for who they are. And I make no apologies for knowing and loving Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I hear that. And I'm in the same place as you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else?
Well, Pastor Luke J. Robinson is minister at Quinn Chapel AME Church. Jonathan Schweitzer, also on the panel this week again, senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel. Getting back to the unity and who attends and all that sort of stuff question, what kind of music would I hear if I went to Quinn Chapel, Luke?
You will hear music that glorify the Lord Jesus Christ.
You're asking a cultural question.
If you were going to place some sort of a cultural label onto it, would it be recognized as, you know, more traditional black gospel choir kind of music?
We do all kinds of music.
Because I know if you go to Jonathan's church, you're going to hear good Christian uplifting God music, but it's going to be the variety that would be contemporary Christian, which is the white people's Christian
music. I have to share a story with you. I went to Oral Roberts University, right, and we had chapel twice a week, and so there's 3,500 students in it every time. It's required twice a week, and there's probably about maybe a fourth to a third of the student body was African American, and I kid you not, they consistently clapped on a different beat than all the rest of the white people in the congregation. The white people in the congregation would be clapping on, you know, like a classic 1-3. But time and again, you look over and sure enough, they'd be
the
just
2-4.
On a totally different beat, but we're all singing together at the same time. All of which just illustrates the fact that that there is some natural cultural differences in likes or dislikes when
I think
to music.
God is glorified in the differences.
Without a doubt.
When they come together. And to go back to the original question about what kind of music you would hear at our church, you will hear the old hymns of the church.
Like the old rugged cross.
Blessed Assurance, the old rugged cross, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. The Methodist
Church. I must say, I think when they sing it, it sounds better than when we sing it.
Well, it depends.
You guys
it
hit some notes that are just phenomenal.
Well, it depends on, I've been to places in all kinds of places. It depends on who's singing.
Well, the reason I'm asking the question or kind of posed the question was, you know, if we really mean that we want to have people from different cultural backgrounds welcome in our congregations, then Crossroads maybe should think about throwing in a traditional standard black gospel choir kind of a song into the mix. Even though nobody there is African American presently, if one were to stumble in off the street and they heard that, hey, these guys are trying to connect with me, as an example, if you want people to feel comfortable not wearing if they're wearing a suit or not wearing a suit, maybe people in the leadership of the church, some of them should be wearing cutoff jeans and others should be wearing 3-piece suits with ties. I mean, just so that everybody gets a sense that this church is open to everybody. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I noticed that TGI Fridays does that. You know, they put all over the walls paraphernalia, and I noticed that they have every political stripe or represented. They have athletic people and intellectual people. Everything represented. So if you look up, it's kind of like a Where's Waldo. You know, you're going to find something that connects with you.
But to go back to our church again, we are integrated. We don't have a large number of whites or other ethnic groups in there, but the lead musician on the guitar is a white brother,
and I bet he thinks he's in heaven.
And he played for the Christmas in the Park, and we have folks even come from Africa, and their style is different from the African American in the country here.
You know, my dad's church, we were always attempting to be integrated, but we tended to be, you know, at the end of the day, white Anglo-Saxon, you know, maybe some Irish thrown in there, you know, a little bit of Germans, you know, just a whole different mix. And since probably the last 10 years, they have become a totally integrated church. My brother, who is currently the pastor there, mm-hmm. is now the minority in the congregation. His wife is Latin American. And there are African Americans, there are Arabian oriented, there are Asian Americans, there are Russian Americans that you practically, you know, wouldn't, and they've had to totally change all their music. You practically wouldn't feel comfortable if you were just, you know, white Anglo-Saxon American going to the congregation. And as a result, they've changed their music and everything. It's kind of been fascinating for me to watch them go through a shift, and it's close enough that it's in my family watching it happen.
And I think the music is a big part of that. Anyway, Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel, and Luke Robinson, pastor minister at Quinn Chapel AME Church in Frederick. Thank you for being on the show. We're going to wrap this up.
Thank
our sponsor,
Putman
Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? I'm Troy Skinner. Check us out online at WFMD.com. Keyword faith. God bless.